Hello, Neil Davey here, and today I'm talking to Rob Fink. Rob, you're the CEO and I think founder, is that right, of Big Drop Brewing Company?
Yes, absolutely. Myself and my business partner, James Kindred.
Fantastic. So how did Big Drop start? How did you, what inspired?
So I was a lawyer for many years and worked in the city of London and co-founded a firm with another chap back in 2010. But being a new startup, we needed to get business, and part of that in the city of London is a lot of wining and dining, and taking clients out, spending afternoons in the pub, etc., etc. But then I had, back in 2014, my first child, and I decided to stop drinking for a little bit. I ended up, I think, not having a drink for about 6 or 7 months, just because having a baby in the house, wanted to, you know, do bedtime stories and change nappies, and getting up in the middle of the night doesn't really work if you spend the afternoon in the pub. So I knocked it on the head for a little bit, but I was still having to go out with my clients and potential clients. And what I realized was that there was actually a really poor choice of alcohol-free beer.
Sure. I guess actually what we should probably do is explain the Big Drop Brewing. You make, so it's low alcohol beers.
So it is, our beer is never more than 0.5% ABV. In the countries in Europe that we export to, that's classed as alcohol free. It's non-alcoholic in the US and Canada. In the UK, although there's been a little bit of discussion at the government level at the moment, it is still counted as low alcohol beer rather than alcohol free. For all intents and purposes, it's alcohol free. You certainly can't get drunk on it. You can drink quite a lot of it and still drive should you choose to. But I call it alcohol free, but it's not labelled as such in this country.
Right. So yes, as you were saying, there was a very poor selection of such things available. So if you go out for a meal and say you don't want to drink Coke and lemonade or water, you're kind of stuffed.
Yeah, and the offerings in pubs particularly were mass produced lagers that weren't necessarily particularly good, and I am a beer fan. I like my pale ales, I like my hoppy flavours. My particular favourite is stout, so I was not being presented with a particularly good choice of beer, so I thought we might try and do something about it.
Fantastic. And your timing probably couldn't have been better with the, so I understand that there's a big shift with the sort of the younger population. There's a greater percentage not drinking. And things like Dry January as well, I guess, have become increasingly, I don't know if popular is necessarily the word necessary.
No, absolutely.
But no, very, very, very good timing, I think.
Yeah, it was certainly luck, not judgment, I have to say. I think it's a bit of a, what's the phrase I'm looking for? Virtuous circle, if you will. But there's always been alcohol-free beer available. People have always drunk alcohol-free beer. But I think increasingly, as you say, people are more perhaps mindful of their health. People are looking to reduce their alcohol intake slightly, or, you know, to a greater or lesser degree. But I think the more that viable options are presented to people, the more they will embrace them and drink more of them rather than seeing them as a distress purchase.
Yes, no, absolutely. You know what I mean? Absolutely. No, I think it's also interesting, is it, I know we spoke before, and so they're just the sort of the general shift in quality with sort of guys like you in the market and the two or three other sort of bigger or big names in that sort of low alcohol bracket. Where I think I've been referring to it as beer squash, which was the kind of everything seemed to be very watery, and it was just it just tasted vaguely of hops.
What we wanted to do when we started out was there are two things really. The first is that we genuinely just want to make good beer before anything else, and the fact that it might be 0.5 is a secondary consideration. Mm-hmm. But the reason that I hope we're able to produce far more credible beers than have previously been produced is that we don't remove the alcohol after the brewing process has finished. So what you find almost exclusively still, not completely exclusively, but almost exclusively, is that companies brew an alcoholic beer and then they remove the alcohol in some way or another. So they filter it, or they heat it, they use vacuum distillation, whereas what we do, and it was engendered really by financial constraints more than anything else, because we couldn't afford to buy all the very expensive kit that you need to do that. But we just do clever brewing. So our beer never gets above 0.5%, but it's brewed in exactly the same way as you would brew a stronger beer, a more conventional alcoholic beer. And we use pretty clever brewing processes to do that. But at the end of it, you've got a beer, and tastes like a beer, smells like a beer, because it's a beer. Mm-hmm. The ABV, as I say, is a secondary consideration.
Sure. And increasingly, I'm particularly with some of the, you know, of your range, the texture, that viscosity is very much like beer, as opposed to what we've maybe, what people may have tried in the past.
Yeah, we use lactose in all of our beers, which is an unfermentable sugar, and that gives it body. And it started really because our first beer was a stout, because that was the beer that I was missing. That was the beer I wanted to drink, so we made a stout, and obviously a milk stout is a venerable drink, and the lactose that we used in that made us realise that with clever tweaking, you're not drinking our beer thinking it tastes sweet in any way, but it gives it that body.
Yes.
Now we are looking, we're currently researching the possibility of doing our lager without the lactose, largely because of demand, because of veganism. People
sure.
are constantly asking me, are your beers vegan? And I have to say, I'm really sorry, but first and foremost, we're trying to make a great beer, and anything else is secondary. But we think we can produce a lager with, again, clever brewing, different malts, all to try and stop the conversion of the sugar into alcohol. So we're hoping we get there. But yeah, absolutely, the mouthfeel is very important to me when we set out to do it.
I guess, I mean, things like the lager, I'll just bring to mind, there must be a certain, possibly a considerable amount of trial and error over the years with what you're trying to do.
The lager is definitely the most difficult one. The brewer, when I told him that we wanted to do a lager, he was quite upset about that. I'm not a brewer by trade or profession at all, but I am led to believe that it's one of the greatest tests of a brewer's skill to produce a great alcoholic lager, because it is so clean and crisp. And so to try and produce a great tasting 0.5% lager was a real,
it's alchemy,
a real test for the brewer. Yeah, absolutely. So that absolutely, the stout recipe probably hasn't varied in the 2.5 years we've been going. The pale ale, we have varied the hops, as obviously most people do, until we've settled on the right one. But it's the lager that's been tweaked the most, but we're pretty happy with where we've got to at the moment.
Fantastic. So, I mean, if people want to sort of track down your beers, where can they find them at the moment?
So we are available in selected Tesco Extra stores in terms of a big geographical presence. You can buy it online through Ocado, or they list the what we call the core range, which is the stout, the pale ale, and the lager. But we do various other beers. It was one of the things that was important to me was to give people a range, some choice, because as I said, I don't really drink lager. I didn't want a lager. I wanted to do lots of other ones. So we have a brown ale, a sour, a spiced winter ale. We'll be bringing out various other ones across the next year. So the full range is usually available at beerhawk.com or specialist websites like drydrinker.com or Wise Bartender. And then most local bottle shops will, often carry us as well if you want to support your local high street.
Fantastic. And if people want to try and track down more, so how can they find you on sort of social media and online?
The hashtag is Big Drop Brew Co. With the at prefix, and that will find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Fantastic. Rob, thank you very much for your time.
Not a problem at all. Good to speak to you now.
Best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.